Had enough of the excuse-making, lack of accountability, and psychobabble? Then you're in the right place. You're listening to the Voice of Reason, and we're here to help you reconnect with your inner common sense. Now, here's the host of the Voice of Reason, Deneen Manette.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Voice of Reason. My name is Deneen Manette, and I am so happy to be with you again today. I just so enjoy spending this time, this hour, every week with you all, and I just want to just thank you for listening, and thank you for being part of my show. So let's see, we got a lot to talk about today, but before we get started, I just feel like I need to give 2 minutes max to this entire Bruce Caitlyn Jenner situation. This has just been something that has completely taken over the media. So I just feel like I just need to address it, but I'm not going to give it more than 2 minutes, I promise. My whole thing is I just keep hearing that, I guess it's just that I am not as interested in this as everybody else seems to be. I don't seem to care as much as apparently the rest of the country and the world cares about this. But I've just been inundated. It is just all over the place. And I just keep hearing people say things like, this is revolutionary, this is a game changer, this is changing the way we view everything, changing the way we look at the world. And quite honestly, to me, a game changer is when the national news does not lead off with a story about what is down somebody's pants. To me, something that is revolutionary and forward-thinking is not the media completely being fixated with what's between somebody's legs. I'm sorry. I just do not care about your genitalia. I mean, whatever makes you happy. If you're happy being a man, being a woman, being someone who dresses like a man, I don't care. As long as you are treating people fine and you're a good citizen and you're paying your bills like the rest of us, I don't care. And I'm not understanding what this fixation is and this need to make somebody a hero because of the fact that they are very invested in their genitalia. I'm not interested in that. So I don't know. I keep hearing people getting called out on the media because they're refusing to refer to Bruce says Caitlyn, saying him instead of her, and they better get with the program because this is his reality and you guys need to get with it because you're being hateful or whatever. And I just find that to be so unfair. I mean, we have grown up with Bruce being our Olympic athlete and being this great runner and being this man in charge of this crazy family. That's what we've grown up. That's the Bruce that we know. I understand that that's not been his reality. And I understand that he has been going through life pretending to be something that he's not. And I get that. And that must be a horrible, horrible way to live. That must be a very devastating and detrimental way to live your life, knowing that you are not living your reality. So I get that. But that has been his reality all of this time. It has not been ours. Our reality has been this Olympic gold medalist. Our reality has been Bruce as a man. Our reality has not been Caitlyn. So for people to all of a sudden expect that just because a person has decided that their reality is different than ours, we all got to get on the same page all of a sudden. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not really up to speed on my pronouns. I've been saying him when I should be saying her, but I just think that it is inherently unfair for people to be criticized because they are not able to grasp and embrace this new reality, even though it's his reality. Not saying that we're against it. It's just something different. It's kind of like as if somebody walked into a room and said, you know what? You're adopted. I know you're 47 years old, but you're adopted. And these people that you think are your parents, they're not really your parents. In fact, these people over here, the Feinbergs, they're your real parents. This is your real mom. This is your real dad. I want you to get over there. I want you to love them. I want you to call them mom and dad, and I want you to incorporate them into your life every day because that's your mom and dad, and deal with it. Seriously? I mean, to me, that is the exact same thing. Something that has been your reality for your entire life, even though it may not be true, and it may not be what is real for the person who is going through this change, it's still difficult for other people to get on board right away. So I just really think that the community that is pushing and pushing and pushing this agenda needs to just relax and let us all catch up. Let everybody get up to speed. Nobody is hating. Nobody is criticizing. It's just something new that needs to be embraced. I'm used to seeing Bruce as Bruce. I'm not used to seeing her as Caitlin. It's going to take me a while, but I don't want to be criticized. I don't want to be condemned. I don't want to be called out because I'm not embracing my new parents as mom and dad when I have been living with my adoptive parents that I thought were my real parents all this time. So anyway, that's my spiel. I'm sure that's been longer than 2 minutes, but that's just something that's really been bothering me that, you know, I've just heard people on the news saying, say her, she, stop saying him. Okay, we just started this. This just happened. Hello? Can I get some time to catch up, people, please? Oh, anyway, that's my 2 cents. On to our topic for the day. So on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a big decision that overturns the conviction of a man by the name of Anthony Alonis. And this guy was arrested for making threats on Facebook against his estranged wife. So he was tried and convicted, and he was given a 4-year sentence. And it went up to the Supreme Court because this is a whole new realm of understanding, a whole new realm of law. And what's happened is that law is not able to keep up with what's happening in society. Social media and internet and all of this is moving a lot faster than the legal system is able to keep up. So it's been a situation where things, the laws are being passed, things are being looked at a little bit differently because we have to try and have law be able to regulate things that are happening on the internet and things that are happening in social media. So this, the opinion of the Supreme Court, which was authored by Chief Justice John Roberts, makes it clear that in this particular situation, the criminal defendant's intent was what should have been important. Not necessarily the way the people perceived what he was saying, but what his intent was. And the trial judge used the perceptions of the individuals that read the post and felt threatened and whether his ex-wife, felt threatened. That's the standard that they used. And the Supreme Court found that that was not a good standard to use, that they should have used his intent. And so Alonis, this 31-year-old man, from Pennsylvania, he received, like I said, a 44-month sentence for something that he wrote on Facebook. And this case became a very closely watched free speech battle because his attorneys argued that his social media postings were basically just rap lyrics. He'd written comments such as, put my knife, flick my wrist, and slit her throat, and leave her bleeding from her jugular in the arms of her partner, ha 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 ha, and something to the effect of, so the next time you knock, you best be serving a warrant, you know, some great lyrics, and bring your SWAT and explosives expert while you're at it. In any event, he made some attempts to distinguish what he was doing, writing at one point that this was all about art and that art is about pushing limits and saying, I'm willing to go to jail for my constitutional rights, are you? And, you know, so he was basically standing behind what he was saying and indicating that this wasn't real. This was all about rap lyrics. Nevertheless, the coworkers of his coworkers and also the friends and other people that were related to the ex-wife felt that these were brutal threats and that these were actual threats that were being made against his wife. So on court appeal, you know, the case was decided basically in terms of what the readers the case was decided on what the readers' interpretations were of his word instead of being evaluated on what his mindset was when he'd done the postings. So the Supreme Court found that that was not okay, that they should not have, they should have looked at what his intent was when he made these postings. So, with the Supreme Court now weighing in on Facebook posting and social media posting, I think it's time we need to weigh in on the things that are put online and how you can become criminally culpable for the things that you put out there or how you can become a victim of someone else. And even more so, how me, as a criminal investigator who's been working in this field for 24 years, is able to use the things that you post online on your social media accounts to my benefit. Because what I do as a fact finder is I'm out there every day digging up witnesses, finding evidence to put a case together once somebody has been arrested and charged. And my job is basically to turn stones over, to find information that is useful to help illuminate the truth and to help in the process, the court process, in order to get justice served one way or another. So I'm going to go through several things that I think people may or may not be aware of that are useful to myself, useful to criminals, or could get you in an awful lot of trouble. And like I said, since the courts are now weighing in on things that are appearing on social media, I think people need to be more aware of the things that they're putting out there. One of the first things that I think most people know, but if you don't know, that you ought to know, is that you really need to be careful of the photographs that you post of your children when they are at their school or with the school logo or insignia on their clothing, if it's a private school, or when you're taking pictures and posting your kids at sporting events in which they are a participant, maybe their softball game, their soccer game, or whatever, in which it is obvious what team they play for, what school they play for, or, you know, what it is that, what group, what club team that this sport is. And the reason that I say that is because this, here's the scenario. You're posting pictures of your 10-year-old daughter's soccer match, and she plays for the Bay Oaks, and that's written on the front of her jersey. Or she plays for Claremont Elementary School. So now I'm somebody, I'm a predator, and I'm seeing this girl, and I think she's very attractive, and I think I want to get to know her better. So I'm now going to go and research when Claremont Elementary School has their next little soccer meet, and I already know her name because you've been kind enough to put, oh, my daughter Kaylee is playing for this team, and she scored 5 goals. Great, so she's really good. So I now know her name, I know who she plays for, I know that she scored 5 goals in the last game, and I know that she's really cute and I find her interesting. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look on the internet, because everything is on the internet, and I'm going to get her soccer schedule. And I am going to show up at one of her next games. And I'm going to keep my eye on her. And I'm going to wait until she goes off into the bathroom. And then I'm going to position myself in a place where I can have a conversation with her and I can say, hey, Kaylee, great game a couple of weeks ago. I saw you score those 5 goals. And then I'm going to start a dialogue with her. The reason that I now know so much about her is because her parent posted her picture, her team, her stats, all of these things on the internet. And I now have enough information to break the ice, and I'm now no longer a stranger because I know her name and I know what she does and I know where she does it and when she does it. Thank you, parent, for turning your child over to me. This is an opportunity for people to stalk and harass you or your children because you have put too much information out on the internet. Another thing that I don't know if people recognize, but I hope that they do, is when they get these brand new things, these new gadgets, these new gaming systems and television sets and wonderful things that are expensive. I'm interested in which computer to buy, and I think I'm going to go ahead and get the iPod or iPad XL or whatever. And people are having these dialogues online, and they're posting pictures of these wonderful presents that they got and these wonderful things that are great and that are exciting, but they're posting these things online. So now I know the things that are in your home. I know that you got this beautiful diamond necklace for your husband for your anniversary that now is in your home because it's not around your neck when you go to work. I know that you have this great new gaming system. I know you have this beautiful flat-screen plasma that is in your home and ready for me to come by and walk off with. These are things that I now know because you decided that it was important enough to take a picture or to ask a question and post it on social media. Now I have that information and I can come and take your television because I know where it is. We'll be back with a few more of these after the break.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason. Here's Deneen Manette.
So we're back, and we've been talking about silly things people put online that can open themselves up to being victimized or can get themselves in trouble. So we were talking about people that take pictures and photographs of their great new appliances and gaming systems and post them online for the world to see, which leads us into the next thing, which is photos of your family at the airport, boarding the airplane, on the airplane, at the beach, in Florida, etc. While you're still there, posting pictures while you're still there. So back to the last one. I now know about the jewelry and the television and the gaming system and the new computer system. And guess what else I know? I know your entire family because I've counted all the people in the picture. They're all there. I now know your entire family is out of town and that you're getting on the airplane. So I know I've got a good couple of days to clean you out. That is something that people do far too often. And people say, well, you know, we're going to be gone and my friends want to keep up. Look, if your Facebook friends, quote, end quote, are really friends, you'd kind of tell them personally that you were going on vacation. And they would kind of expect you not to be posting for a while or responding to the things that they send to you. You know, and if they're smart and good friends, then they wouldn't post things like, hope you're having fun on your vacation. You know what I mean? So, you know, people say, oh, well, my friends will worry about me. No, if they're really your friends, they know you're going out of town. It's not necessary. You can still post your pictures, but why don't you wait and post them when you get back at a time when you are able to protect your home from predators? And if the people that are on your, quote, friend, end quote, list are only people that you talk to on Facebook, well, then, goodness sakes, they can wait till you get back to see the pictures or to have you respond to their messages. So, you know, and this is something that happens. Like, there was a family, an entire family that was wiped out in a car accident in a community nearby where I live. Their home was broken into during the funeral. It was a mother, a father, and two small children. During the funeral service, somebody came in, a girl and a guy came in and cleaned them out and took off with their car because they knew everybody in town, in the neighborhood, was going to be at that funeral, and there would be nobody there in the family or that would be there to watch that home. People are predators, folks. People are predators. Anybody who would wait till you're going to the funeral to bury your family member to clean your house out is just the scum of the earth. But unfortunately, that person exists. So they're there, and they're real, and to not recognize that person is that there are predators out there that are just waiting for their opportunity. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. So in any event, that's one of the things that people do way too often. I see way too many vacation pictures of people while they're still on vacation on my own newsfeed. And I'm tired of telling people to take them down. And of course, one of my all time favorites is the people that pull out their phones, the kids especially, to take a video of a fight that happens at school or on the bus or at the park or any other crime that they're going to capture on video. Though I love having clear evidence of things like that, I don't think people realize, especially youngsters, that they are now a witness in a case that may or may not have anything to do with them. An example is when somebody comes into our office and says, yeah, I'm arrested. I got arrested for beating her up, but she started it. She was the one that came up and antagonized me, and I was defending myself. And Priscilla over there captured the whole thing on tape because she was videotaping it from around the corner. I saw her. So guess what I'm going to do, folks? I'm going to go find Priscilla, because she's the holder of the record. And I'm going to say, hey, Priscilla, I understand you videotaped this incident. Here's a subpoena for you to bring your phone or to turn over your phone as evidence because I need it. And now Priscilla, as the holder of the record, will have to come into court and testify as to having taken that videotape and what she saw. Now, Priscilla may not even know these people that were having this fight, but guess what? She's now my witness because she decided that it was a cool thing to do, to whip out her little camera, her little cell phone, and get all of the action of the fight on the bus on her phone. So tell your kids, even adults, but especially your kids, your high schoolers, unless they want to get a subpoena from me or unless they want to be drug into court on something that has nothing to do with them, you really can't go wrong a lot of the time minding your own business. And that's kind of an example of that. Another thing that people do is tagging, make the location tags on photographs or videos, especially things that come that, you know, involve your children. There are things on iPhones called geotags, and they tag where your picture was taken before you uploaded it to a social media site. They're called geotag, G-E-O-T-A-G. And they're part of the software of the telephone, of your iPhone. And it embeds the location that the photograph is taken when it is taken. So when you're taking pictures of your kids at their school, or you're taking pictures of things like, for instance, you're going to post something on Craigslist to sell, and you are taking a picture of it, and you're going to post it on the website, and you're using your iPhone to do that, unless you disable these geotags, the location of where you're taking this picture is going to be posted. And it's going to be something that anybody who's even remotely tech savvy will be able to find. So unless you want strangers to come by your house knowing that you're trying to sell this valuable item and, you know, get it from you, you need to disable these things on your phone. And how do you disable it from your iPhone? You tap the settings icon on the phone high screen. You go into settings. You tap the privacy menu and go into privacy. You choose location settings from the screen. You go to location settings. You look for the camera. You go down to camera, the camera setting, and you change it from on position to the off position. So therefore, this should prevent the geotag data from being recorded in future pictures that are taken with your iPhone that are built into the camera. This is built into the camera's app. Okay, so once again, you're going to go to your settings. From there, you're going to go to your privacy menu. From there, you're going to go to location services. After that, you go to the camera setting and you switch it from on to off. Okay, then you just go back to your home screen and everything is going to be fine after that. And if you have already, and unless you've previously disabled this, you know, there is also something, an app that you can download, such as DGEO, D-E-G-E-O. It's available from your iTunes app store. And it also can strip the geotag information from photos that are already on your phone. You can't do it from things you've already uploaded, but if you have pictures that are already on your phone and you want to take the tag off of those pictures, you can download the DGEO app, D-E-G-E-O. So this is something that's just really, really important when you're constantly taking pictures, like I said, of your children places and you're uploading pictures, even if you take out identifying information, you gotta get rid of these geotags from the phone. It's really, really a dangerous thing. Another thing people do is giving too much information about where they work or their boss, what type of boss they have, or any contact information. And this can be a problem for you for a couple of reasons. Number one, people like me who are trying to find you, you making it really, really easy to find you because I know more about your work now than I did, you know, when I first opened the case. So somebody like me who's looking to serve you, you know, a process or paperwork or find you to interview you about a particular incident, I'm going to find you a whole lot easier because I know a lot about where you work. Another reason is because it can get you in trouble if you're putting negative things online. I have twice now reported people that have written things online. One time a person wrote something about let's all go kill the president, and I found that to be terrifying. And I called the Secret Service and told them exactly where the guy worked. So that's one thing that I've done, me personally. A second thing is there was a person who was writing on Facebook an awful lot of really, really racist things. And they made the mistake of putting their work information on. So guess what I did? I called their job. I said, you know what? You have a very, very racist employee and it reflects poorly upon your business. Yeah, am I a snitch? Sure, I'm a snitch. I have no qualms about that. You know, I think if you do stupid things online and if you put stupid stuff out there, you need to expect to stand up and own your stupidity. So if you're going to be ranting and raving about different ethnic groups and making racist comments and still representing a company, I think a company has a right to know who they are employing and that this person is out there making their company look bad. And I'm the person to give the company a call and tell them that. So if you're going to be a racist online or a homophobe or a sexist or just an ignorant fool, make sure you don't put down where you work. because like I said, I surely picked up the phone and made that phone call, and I certainly let the owner of this small business know that he had a racist that was really reflecting poorly upon his business online. So, proud of that. Yep, we'll do it again. So, like I said, if you're an idiot, make sure you don't have identifying information on your profile. People who put pictures, I mean, I understand that it's great that you're really excited about your new car, but blur out the license plate. I've had to call a couple of friends to the carpet on this about putting pictures, you know, of their kids standing next to the car or taking a picture of their new car. I know you're really, really excited about your new car, but when I come across a picture of a car with a license plate, oh, honey, I have hit the jackpot. I get so excited. That tells me everything I need to know. As an investigator, all I have to do is run the plate, and I can find out exactly where you are, and I can go and talk to you, pay you a little visit. So if you don't want to be easily found, if you don't want to have me showing up at your door with a subpoena or whatever, or my little notepad or tape recorder, don't do it. You know, and not just people like me, people who have unscrupulous desires and people who are looking for trouble, looking to victimize you. Don't give people a bread trail to your home. Don't give people a bread trail into your life. I mean, come on. Just don't do it. If you really have to show off your new car, just blur out the license plate. Take a picture that's a little higher than the plate. Do something. But don't sit there and just give away all of your personal information just because you want to show off, brag. I mean, you know, in fact, I even call Facebook brag book because that's pretty much what it has come down to. So that's really important, along with taking photographs in front of your house that will enable somebody like me or somebody, you know, who is not like me and looking in a professional sense to be able to find your house just by knowing what neighborhood you live in. If you're doing this entire full video of all of your, you know, kids getting into the limousine for the prom or whatever, try not to post things that give too much neighborhood information. I don't need to see a house number or something that I can zoom in and find the house number. I don't need to see the street name. I don't need to see anything that's next door, you know, any particular marking landmarks. Try and keep things that have to do with your home and your family and to protect your kids. Try and keep that stuff a little bit more under wraps. Try and keep that stuff a little more private, because something as simple as just some photographs in front of your house where I can zoom in and see your house number and I have an idea of where you live and I can drive around and figure out what house is yours. It's not rocket science, folks. I mean, there are a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me and have a lot more time on their hand that are able to figure out just as much as I can, if not more. But their purposes are not, you know, legitimate. Their purposes are not good. So that's just another thing that I really need people to be aware of. I really need people to be conscious of, and that you just don't do it. And if you go back and look at things that you've put up online that, you know, speak to that, take them down. We'll be right back, and we're going to finish up with this topic before moving on to our infidelity questions of the week.
You're listening to the Voice of Reason on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Deneen Minette.
It's Deneen Minette again, and I am back. We are still going through an entire list of things that are actually pet peeves of mine that have to do with things that people put on the internet, that people put on social media, that I think can really open them up for danger, that can really open them up for victimization. And so, you know, I'm just going through a few things that I'm just trying to highlight. Of course, there's many more, but these are the ones that just really get under my skin that I see people doing all the time. So we're moving along. We were just talking about taking pictures in front of your home. And another one that is real important, because I really think people put their kids, expose them to undue, unnecessary danger an awful lot because of their, you know, their need to show off what their kids' accomplishments are. And I get that. I get that. I do some of that myself. So I get that. But I just need to have it be, you know, I need to just put it out there that people need to understand that a lot of things that they do can cause their kids to have an awful lot of trouble, an awful lot of problem that's unnecessary. Another thing that they do is putting information about the camps your kids are going to, when they're going on a field trip, when they're going on outdoor ed, you know, saying goodbye to my baby, going for a week in Yosemite. Stop it. Stop giving people your kids' whereabouts. Stop telling people where your kids are going to be without you being there. Stop telling them about the camp. Stop reporting on their field trip that they're about to take with their class. Just stop it. Stop doing it. You can talk about it after it happened, but do not do it before they've gone on the trip. That's where the big problem is. I don't have a problem with posting pictures after an event, after a vacation, but it's when you're giving people information about saying goodbye to my baby who's off for a week on a hiking trip in Yellowstone. Stop it. Just stop it. Another thing that people do that can impact them, and I'll tell you how later with your kids, is putting your birth year on your Facebook status. A lot of people do that. Most people do that. Facebook gives you the option not to do that. I would strongly suggest that you go back to just having your birthday and the date, the month and the date. I know people like to get lots of happy birthday wishes, and that's great. That's perfect. So you can keep that. But if you have, when you have your birth year on there, and also it gives you an opportunity to say where you're from, what your hometown is, you know, people just have a little bit too much information, in my opinion. Those two pieces of information, your entire birth date and your place of birth, are very, very, you know, personal, that's very private information that in used in connection with gathering just a little bit more, like your zip code, that can open you up to some identity theft. That can open you up to some type of a problem. And on another note, which is to me even a little bit more serious, I see people who post all the time, today was my beautiful daughter was born. Today my son turned 18. Today I see that every single day. Now this is what I have pulled as a predator. This is what I have pulled from that post. I now know your child first and last name, because I know your last name. I now know their birthday, their full date of birth. I probably can have an idea of where they were born, because if it's a small child, then I have an idea. And I know their mother's maiden name, most likely. Because if you and I went to school together, or if you're, you know, a lot of people have their maiden name or their maiden and married name on their Facebook profile, I now know your kid's mother's maiden name, date of birth, place of birth, age, and full complete name. That's a lot of information about your child. And there's nothing worse than having your kid turn 18 or 19 and go and try and get some credit information, or try and purchase, make a major purchase, and their credit is already screwed up because somebody has already opened multiple accounts in your kid's name. Because they have your kid's address, they have your kid's, you know, they can use any address, but they have your kid's date of birth, full name, mother's maiden name, everything they need to now go out and open up a charge account. So if you're not paying attention to what you're doing to protect yourself, for God's sakes, think long and hard about putting that type of information about your kids online. That type of information. It's risky. It's really, really risky. Posts where people check in. Checking in at Kaiser. Checking in at the gym. Checking in at the nail salon. Anywhere. Why do people need to know your every move? Why do people need to track you like that? When I see somebody is checking in at the gym and I need to find them, guess where I'm going? I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the gym. I'm going to the nail salon, because not only do you check in at the nail salon, oh, you put a little bit of a little picture there that shows when you check in, it gives the address and the rating and everything I need to know about where you are. I know you're at Kaiser, which is very interesting, because if there's some medical records that I need to find and I need to have subpoenaed without your permission, I have a really good chance of finding them at Kaiser, because now you've checked in at Kaiser. So I know you're a Kaiser member, or I know you're a Summit member, or I know whatever your medical group is. I have an idea that this is where I can get the information that I need regarding your medical records, which can make my job a lot easier. So, I mean, I feel bad telling people not to do these things, because this is going to make my work a lot harder, but I just think it's important to know. And as far as you know, the friends that you hang out with or whatever, if you have friends that have lifestyles that could bring somebody like me their way, you may want to think twice about commenting on their public post or photographs. Now, I know that a lot of the things I'm saying, a lot of people are saying, well, my stuff is set to private and I only have, it's only friends and I'm not worried about it because I, it's only friends. And we all know that there are some people on your friend list that you don't know really, really well. So, but people say, you know, these are all my friends or whatever. I know what my friends are up to. If you have friends that are into a lifestyle or have connections with things that maybe not on the up and up or maybe opening them and you up to being found by somebody like me, you may not want to comment. And I'm going to give you an example. I was going after somebody just this week who everything in their profile was set to private except for their beautiful, beautiful profile picture. Now, we always pick our prettiest picture for our profile picture. We know that. Nobody posts the ugly ones, right? And of course, 40 people liked and commented on the profile picture. Now, profile pictures are public. You can't make those private. So guess what I do? I go through all the comments that were made by all your little friends that all posted, you're so beautiful, you're so great, and I started harassing all those people. And I go through all the people that like so that I can find who I'm looking for. I know that I'm looking for a guy named Austin, and guess what? Austin liked the pretty photograph, and I know Austin is a friend of this person. So once I was able to go through and find the name, the last name of the Austin person I'm looking for, now I'm hot on the trail of Austin because he took the time to like or comment on this person's public profile picture. So if you have associates or friends that may drag you into something or may be involved in some activities or may be involved in a contentious divorce or child custody agreement arrangement or maybe in some type of trouble at work or in any way are, you know, people are interested in who they associate with and you're one of their associates, you may want to not comment or not like their profile pictures, their cover photographs, or anything that is available for public view that is there and is available for somebody like me to go through all of the lists of people who decided to stop by and leave their, you know, statement or whatever. So be really, really, really careful. Make sure you have your tags set to that they have to be reviewed before they're published, before any tags of you and for your tagged in something. Don't allow your privacy settings to be such that people can tag you without your permission because people will tag you places and you may not want anyone to know that you're at a particular place. So go through your privacy settings, recheck everything and make sure that your settings are set so that nobody can just tag you in particular places. And that makes you a little bit more difficult to locate by somebody who's a predator, by somebody who's a stalker, by somebody like me, who has a particular purpose for finding you by a process server or whatever. So just make sure. And most importantly, finally, anything that's related to poor behavior, drunkenness, drugs, illegal activity, excessive partying, any of that stuff, make sure that you don't post anything like that because these things can be used against you. I had a rape case that I investigated a couple years ago where the guy was arrested and he was reportedly punched her and then they had sex. And that was, well, punched her and then raped her. His story was that he did not rape her, that they do rough play like that, that they have this kind of sadomasochistic type of relationship. They had that. And that the punching was something that they just did in the realm and in the scope of what they do in their sexual life. So I went on her Facebook page and there's all these pictures of her pierced body hanging from meat hooks. I mean, the skin, her skin is stretched on these meat hooks and it's obvious. And she's got these nooses around her neck. And I'm thinking, well, it's not so out of bounds that this could be some kind of sex play, the punching thing. So in any event, I don't even remember how that case was resolved, but I do know that all of these pictures of her hanging from meat hooks and looking like she was about to get beat up by an awful lot of guys with chains, all this stuff came into play. So unless you want activities that you do, private activities that you do to be broadcast and be used against you in any way, shape, or form, go ahead and take that stuff down. And one final point in this area, people need to recognize that you are not the owner of your cell phone records. Your cell phone provider is. You can destroy your phone. You can change carriers. You can delete your text messages. You can throw your phone in the ocean. But that will not stop me from getting the information from your phone, because you are not the holder of that record. Your provider is. Sprint, Verizon, whoever you have, AT&T, they are the holder. I don't have to go through you to get your cell phone records. I go straight to the provider. So regardless of whether you still have that phone or not, I can know the text messages that you sent, who you sent them to, in some cases, many cases, the content, and where you were when you sent these things, when and where you were when you sent these things months ago. It's one of my favorite investigative tools. So just know that you do not own those cell phone records. I can find them and I can find you even if you've destroyed the phone. We'll be back with our infidelity section.
And now back to Deneen Manette for more of the Voice of Reason on TalkZone.com.
Okay, folks, back again. It's Deneen Manette with the Voice of Reason. I am an infidelity expert in addition to being a criminal investigator, and I always try and set aside the last portion of the show to answer my infidelity question of the week, and I do ask people to email me their infidelity questions at dmanette@yahoo.com. You can also access me by going through the TalkZone website. So there's links there to find me at the TalkZone website. And you can always send me your infidelity question. I always get a few good ones, but I'm going to try and get through one of the juicier ones today. So I got a question from someone named Francis. And Francis wants to know, how long does it take for a marriage to return to normal after an affair? I had a fling with an ex around Christmas time, and my husband found out because of a text message he uncovered. Me and this guy are done, though, and rarely communicate anymore, except maybe when I comment on one of his Facebook pictures or something. Otherwise, he has gone on with his life, and so have I. I feel really bad, and I keep saying I'm sorry, but it seems like things are still not the same. How long will it take my husband to get over this and for us to get back to normal? Oh, Francis, I'm so glad you wrote. Look, Francis. Okay, the first thing is that it may never get back to, quote, normal. Things are never the same. Sometimes they're better. Usually they're just different. There's a different type of an interaction, a different type of respect, a different type of love and affection, because you broke the bond of the commitment. You stepped outside of the marriage. You basically let your husband know that what he thought you probably could never do, you could actually do, and that you could look at him in the eye while you were doing it. And what makes it even worse is that it is not as though the relationship between you and this ex of yours just ended on its own, and it's not as though you felt guilty and you came to him and confessed. He had to find out from a text message. He had to find out through something he uncovered while everything was still hot and heavy. So if you had decided that you didn't want to be messing around with this guy anymore on your own turn, you know, with your own fruition, if you had come to that realization on your own, it may have made things a little bit better. But in essence, the only reason that you stopped fooling around with this guy is because you got caught. Not because you felt bad, because you got caught. Not because it ran its course, but because you got caught. That is the worst thing for a victim of infidelity to recognize, is that had they not stepped in and found out what was going on, you would still be doing it. So that means that you had no internal mechanism that was kicking in telling you that this was wrong. You didn't give a damn. You were going to just keep taking care of Francis. And once he found out, bummer. So for the rest of his days, he is going to wonder whether or not you are sorry because you, for what you did, or because you're sorry that you got caught. You know, there's two different things. I'm sorry because I hurt you, because I shouldn't have done this, because my conscience kicked in, because I felt bad, is different than, gosh, I'm sorry you messed up our fun. You know, so no, this is not okay. It's not going to be okay. And it's not going to be okay for a very, very long time because he does not understand why you're not still with this guy. He probably doesn't believe you're not still with this guy because but for his snooping around or however he found out about this, you guys probably would have still been going on hot and heavy. So that's a really, that's a huge inhibitor to recovery at this stage of the game. The second big inhibitor is that this was just Christmas time. Good Lord, I still have Christmas gifts I haven't used yet. I mean, my God, that was like yesterday. Christmas was barely a few months ago. That was nothing. The fact that you're even asking when things get back to normal is telling me you're not doing enough to make things better. You are not putting in the work. You are already expecting him to forget that you were laying up under some other man, you know, or bent over the table. You're not thinking about the fact that he's visualizing all this from just Christmas. He's opening up Christmas presents. You're opening up your britches. That's a problem. That's not something that a man, a woman, a dog, anybody is going to get over in a couple of months. So the fact that you are even asking, when are we going to get back to normal, instead of framing the question as, what can I do to make this better? How can I make him feel more at ease? How can I make him trust me more and recognize that I really, really love him? You know, you're asking, when is he going to get over it? You're putting this back on him. He's holding up the progress. He's making things difficult for you because he's still got an attitude. He's still mad. Well, yeah, he's still mad. Just happened. So that's a problem. It's to me, the fact that you're asking the question when he's going to get his act together tells me that there's a lot more work to be done and that you're not doing it. Another issue is that you're calling this a fling. What is a fling? A fling is like something that you fling off of your hand, something insignificant, something that didn't really matter. The fact that you hooked up with somebody that you once had a relationship with, which makes it even worse because that makes it seem as though you never got over that person, but then are terming it as a fling is really, really disrespectful. A fling is just like, oh, I had a little crush. Oh, it was an incident. Oh, it was a little mistake on my part, or I told a little white lie. I mean, those things, those words, that terminology totally minimizes the level of the betrayal. It totally takes away from ownership of the depth of what you have done to this individual and what you have done to your marriage. A fling. I had a little fling with my ex. Oh, please. That sounds like a lunch date. That sounds like you had tea and crumpets in the park. That doesn't sound like you got naked and screwed. No, that sounds like it was just something that he needs to get over. I'm really concerned about your marriage. I'm really concerned about your level of misunderstanding the depth of what your husband is going through. I don't think you have any clue. And what makes it even worse, I think probably the most outrageous an offensive thing in this entire letter you wrote, this entire email, is me and this guy are done. We rarely communicate anymore, except maybe when I comment on one of his Facebook pictures or something. I feel like throwing up. I feel like throwing up. I do think that that's an obnoxious statement. Why are you guys friends on Facebook? Why are you still entertaining this guy and making him part of your life in any way, shape, or form? He is part of the problem. You are the problem, but he is a part of the problem. And you continue to interact with him on Facebook? Honey, that is so disrespectful. That is so disrespectful to your husband and anybody else who knew about this relationship that sees you commenting on his Facebook posts. That is so wrong on so many different levels. If you think for 1 minute your husband who uncovered a text message is not completely and fully aware that you are still interacting with this guy on Facebook, then you need to get your head out of the sand. Every single time he sees you like this guy's post or he likes yours or you guys comment, it drives a stake through his heart. This relationship will never recover. Listen to me. Listen, listen. It will never, ever, ever recover as long as you continue to fraternize with this dude on any level. Any level. I don't care that you've known each other since preschool. I don't care that your mothers are next door neighbors and play bridge together. I don't care. You showed blatant disregard and disrespect for your marriage by incorporating this man into your private bedroom, into your relationship with your husband. And he showed blatant disrespect for your marriage and for you and for your husband by sleeping with another person's spouse. So, therefore, what you are doing is incorporating somebody who blatantly disrespects your marriage into your life still. And you're thinking that that's okay. That is so hurtful. I say this all the time. You cannot put toothpaste back in the tube. Once you have had any type of a sexual relationship outside of your marriage with someone else, this person can no longer be your friend, your mentor, your confidant, your buddy, your drinking partner, your none of that, your exercise friend. This person can no longer be in your life. You can no longer have communication with this person. Not in 50 years. They are done. They've got to be dead to you and to your marriage. I don't care. So the fact that you, number one, are calling this whole thing a fling, number two, didn't tell your husband about the relationship, about the affair, about the quote fling, end quote. The fact that you continue to interact with this man, even if it's innocently, the fact that you still are keeping him in your life in any respect, in any fashion, that you are having any interaction with him whatsoever, and the fact that you are asking how much longer, 4 or 5 months after you laid in bed under somebody else, tells me that this marriage is in trouble. This marriage is in trouble. You need to figure out what you need to do to repair this marriage. There's a page on my website called Rebuilding Trust. You can find it at ultimatebetrayal.com. There's a page on my website called Rebuilding Trust, which gives you everything that you need to know in order to rebuild, begin the rebuilding process. I think you need to go into counseling. I would highly advise that. The fact that your husband has not mentioned, I'm assuming, that he's noticing you're interacting on Facebook. It's not that he doesn't know. It's that for some reason he's just not bringing it up. In my opinion, honey, he may be packing his bags. He may be preparing an exit plan. He may have stopped caring and have completely shut down and have cut out because you are continuing to be disrespectful and you're probably badgering him and bullying him about how long. You know, this is going to take. So get your act together, get into counseling, have a sit down with your husband and, you know, work on you. Stop working on him, worrying about what he's doing and thinking. That's it. Thank you all so much for joining me. I appreciated you being with me today and I look forward to being here same time, same place next Tuesday. Have a great week, folks. Thank you.